Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to start out in Proverbs chapter 22. We've got a few verses this morning. You know, we live in the basement right now, and on the south side, we've got like a lookout. You know, it's not a walkout, but so the ground's about this high. So we've got windows all the way across there, and so the dog always comes down and looks in the window. Of course, we like to torture her and tap on the glass, and she tries to get in, and you know. So every once in a while, the dog will be looking in, and I'll whistle, or, you know, just go, come here, and she'll go, you know, she tips her head. And so Aspen this morning said, "Dad," she raised her eyebrow. It's just kind of funny, because she just, you know, huh? What? Well, you may look like that this morning. Huh? What? I'm going to talk about something that I'd never really heard about before. And I knew kind of the action part of it. But when we were at Jesus Culture in Chicago this summer, the last night Bill Johnson spoke, and he talked about something, and when he spoke, it just knocked me back. And I said, there's something to that. And I've just been kind of just letting it kind of stir and off and on. And I'd never really heard of the concept, but if you ever go to iBethel and watch any of their stuff or watch Jesus Culture stuff, you'll hear about it a lot. But I'd never really heard it taught as a subject, and so it was a little confusing to me. But what he talked about was it being a key, and you're going, well, "What is it?" I'll tell you in a second. He talked about it being a key. Everybody say key. Being a key to spiritual blessing, being a key to advancement, being a key to walking forward with God. And he said, some of you are missing this in your lives. And if you would grab a hold of this, you know, there's no one thing with God that's going to, you know what I mean, that's going to open up everything to you. But sometimes we're missing little pieces of the puzzle. And to me, this just seemed like a missing piece of the puzzle. And you're just going to smile when you hear what I'm going to talk about. What he talked about is becoming a person of honor. And I had never heard of that before. And not like honor, not like doing honorable things like, you know, being a firefighter or something. That's kind of what we think of when we think of honor. But he talked about becoming a person of honor, meaning how you treat other people, honoring others, honoring people around you, what you say about them. How you talk about them, how you talk to them, how you treat them, your concept of them, how you view people, and talked about becoming a person of honor. And so I'd never really heard of that before. I'd heard about some of the things that you would do with that. And so I started looking in the scriptures and see, well, is there anything really about this? Is that just something that Bill just loves to talk about and is just cool? Because it's something that you'll hear about them when if you go and watch any of their videos and stuff, you'll hear them talking about developing a culture of honor. And they like to honor people and honor one another. And so I thought, well, is it really in the Bible? And guess what? It was really in the Bible. And, you know, we'll see it today. And so if you're looking at me like my dog looks at me through the window and you got your eyebrow raised, just take some of these verses home and just see what God would say to you about it. And just say, nah, that's not how I live. I don't think, you know, that's fine. But it was something that really took me back, and just I just thought, I need to hear this. And it's not something that's natural for us as humans. It's not something that's natural to do, that comes easily. For certain personalities it is, but for most of us that have a very active human nature, old nature that is still fighting to be killed off, it's not an easy thing to do. So we'll just kind of start and see where we end up at. Proverbs chapter 22. I was driving school bus or doing something completely away from church, and I'd thought about talking on this. And I don't understand it that much, and you know, I'm not very familiar with it, and so I'd really felt I need to talk on it. But then I just kept going back and forth. No, I need to talk. You know, I don't really know that much about it. And so last Friday, a week ago, we're sitting around the table out there, and I had just kind of decided, nah, I'm going to talk about something else. Guess what we talked about half the morning? Talked about honor. Someone else brought it up, And so everyone jumped in the conversation right away. And I'm like, really? You're kidding me. And so then I decided, okay, I'll talk about it. And then I started looking up some of the verses and stuff, and I'm like, I don't know if I could ever put this together. And so I was really kind of waffling again. I'm sitting in my chair. We're doing devotions probably 4 or 5 nights ago, and Taylor's sitting on my lap. And he said, Dad, can I pray first tonight? I said, sure, you can pray first. So he prays and bless my daddy or whatever and help him to hear about God's honor. And I haven't told Marnie. Marnie doesn't know what we're talking about. I haven't told anybody what I'm talking about. The only one that knows is me, and I guess God. So I thought, where would you have heard of that? God's honor. What kind of prayer is that? But my son hears from God. He really does, yeah. Help him to hear about God's honor. Interesting. So we're talking about honor today. Proverbs chapter 22. So anyways, I was driving a school bus or something, whatever, and this verse popped into my head, and I went, I get it. So talking about this being, now read this verse through the prism in your mind, through the concept of honor being a gateway to blessing, being a gateway to walking forward with God, that it's not the only key, but it's one of the keys. It's one of the things that, the ways that God wants your life to emulate so that he can advance you. You know, sometimes we get so far and then it just seems like, you know, we kind of bump into things. And I just believe that this is one of the keys to help us move past some of this stuff. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 11. Now we'll read this verse and it will be really interesting to you, I hope. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 11. He who loves a pure heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king for his friend. Will have the king for his friend. Do you think that's advancement? Do you think that speaks of blessing? How many of you have kings for your friend? How many of you can, you know, call up the president and say, hey, listen, you know, I'm having a problem with these guys down at the DMV. Could you, you know? You will have an audience and you will have an inroad with the highest official in the land if you do this. And what is this? Loving a pure heart and having gracious speech. Say gracious. Gracious. Do you know what gracious means? I'll tell you. The definition is pleasantly kind, benevolent, and courteous. Listen to this. Merciful or compassionate. Merciful or compassionate. So if your speech is kind, if your speech, the words that you say, the things that come out of your mouth are full of compassion and they're full of mercy. How many of you like mercy? You guys ever play that game? With the hands? I was undefeated. I'd do these, I don't know, I got strong hands or something. I went down to college, all these big football players that outweighed me by, you know, 180 pounds more, big muscle guys. Go play me once. I'd play them. They'd be down on their knees crying, mercy, mercy. Yeah, I thought so. What happens when they say mercy? What do you do? You stop. Yep. So that's one form of it. It's holding back. You know, I could just go ahead and snap your fingers right off, but you said mercy, so I'm going to have mercy on you. We get mercy from God. We're talking, and we just finished up a series, but talking about how, and this is hard to hear, but all the good things you've done in your life, every time you've helped an old lady across the street, or every time that you've, you know, given your brother, you know, your brother gave you a pen for Christmas and you went out and you bought him a new car. You know, you've done something so good, you're just wonderful. All those things, guess what? You still deserve hell. Doesn't matter. They don't stack up. And it's hard for us to hear. But it's only by the mercy and the grace of God. Because he had mercy on us and sent Jesus. And we really need to understand how much mercy we've been given. And that's what Romans 12 is talking about. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, present your bodies as living sacrifices. God has mercy on us. So there's times when you may feel that someone you're talking to or something, someone you're talking about deserves some words that may not be so kind to come out of your mouth. But if you can stop, And you can take control of those words, and you can let words come out of your mouth that are full of, say it, mercy. Say it. Mercy and grace. You start to open up your life for blessing. It's okay if you don't want blessing and advancement in your life. You don't have to believe this. And I don't fully understand it yet, but the more I studied it, the more I saw there really is something to this. He who loves a pure heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king for his friend. I get the speech thing. What does a pure heart have to do with it? Let me read you a verse and see if it makes more sense to you. You don't have to turn there. Luke chapter 6, verse number 45 says, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his, where? Heart. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his, where? Heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, the mouth speaks. My words are little containers of what's in my heart, and I don't really like to hear. If I was you right now, I would be scowling at me because I don't like to hear that. That's not cool because I've heard some of the things that I say. It's not pretty. But my words, and please, this isn't condemning. This isn't, you know, I'm looking at you saying, hey, anyone in this room, I'm the one that needs to hear this the most. That my words are containers. And they can be containers of filth and death, or they can be containers of life. I can be dropping little life bombs, little grenades of life and grace and mercy. So now do you get the heart thing? He who loves a pure heart. Guess what? Your words aren't going to be full of mercy if in your heart you're feeling that we don't ever want to admit this, but I feel that I'm better than them, or I could do better than them, or they're such dunderheads, or I can't believe their idiots act like that. And you're never going to get your words to match up if that's what's in your heart. So it starts with, gosh, I've got to change what's in here. I've got to view people with the same mercy that God views them with. Because guess what? We all mess up. Guess what? We all missed it. We all deserve God's mercy, or don't deserve. You know, we all have gotten God's mercy without deserving it. I'm in the same boat as that person that I want to spew those things about. We're in the same boat. Maybe God has done more, you know, maybe I've let him do more in my life, made better choices, done different things, whatever. But we're in the same boat. We start out in the same place. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? Does that make sense? Let me read a couple other Proverbs. If you're still in Proverbs, you can turn to them if you want. Proverbs chapter 15. We're going to read these kind of quick though. Proverbs chapter 15. Listen to this. This is really good. The Lord detests. What does detest mean? Hates. Just, ugh. The Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked, but gracious words are pure in his sight. Let me read that again. The Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked, but gracious words are pure in his sight. 16:21 says, the wise in heart are called discerning, and gracious words promote instruction. Luke chapter 4, verse number 22 says, we're talking about Jesus, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son, they asked? They were shocked, not just because of what he did, but they took note of the words that were coming out of his mouth. The words that came out of his mouth were different than everyone else's words. You see that? They took note of it so much that it made it into the Bible. That when Jesus spoke, that his words were so different than the people around him. As Christians, as followers of Christ, our lives should be so different, our hearts and our minds should be so renewed that our words should be different than those around us. I have to say, sometimes my words aren't any different than those around me. No one could walk into that room without knowing any one of us and walk in and listen to our conversation and pick out who's the follower of Christ and who's not. Take swearing out of the equation. Just because that's the big one. Take that out, and then just picture your conversations, And picture someone walking into the room and someone saying, you know, conversations with your unsaved friends, neighbors. And could they pick out which one is the follower of Christ? Are your words full of mercy and grace? Because if they are, God wants to open doors, wants to advance you. He who loves a pure heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king for his friend. You guys know the story of Daniel? Open up to Daniel chapter 4. So do you kind of know the premise of Daniel? There's a king, his name was Nebuchadnezzar. And they were captured by him. Daniel and some of his other buddies. And they were taken into captivity. I was trying to find some information on Nebuchadnezzar. He was an evil, evil, evil king. And I did find some writings, some ancient writings. And it was kind of a historian's, I can't remember the guy's name, but he went around the ancient empire and he basically wrote about all the different kings and stuff. And so in some of his writings were some stuff about Nebuchadnezzar. One of the things that he did is anytime he, especially higher officials, but they did it with everybody, they'd capture the enemies. Anyone that they captured alive, they'd bring out in the town square and they'd take their swords and knives and they'd fillet them and they'd cut off pieces and they'd, you know, let them die that way publicly. And it just, he was just brutal and he was just nasty. And so he had taken Daniel and his friends captive. All right. Daniel chapter 4. Verse number 4 says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was in my home in my palace, contented and prosperous. I had a dream that made me afraid. And so he goes on and he talks about his dream and stuff. So listen to this. Verse number 6, I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream. When the magicians and enchanters and astrologers and diviners came, I told them the dream. Finally, Daniel came into my presence and I told him the dream. He is called Belteshazzar. So that's what Daniel called, or that's what the king called him, Belteshazzar, after the name of my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. Okay, now listen, here's how the king sees Daniel. He sees Daniel as one of the magicians, okay? Calls Daniel a magician, gives him a name. Imagine that. Imagine if you were taken into captivity and the king gave you the name of Satan. That's what's happening here. He's giving Daniel a name of a false god, and that's what he changed his name to. Do you think that would bother you a little bit? You think it would just... So he doesn't recognize that the one true God is in Daniel, doesn't recognize that, calls him the name of this false god, changes his name to it, won't even give him the respect of calling him Daniel, calls him the name of his false god, Beelzebub, or what, you know, Belteshazzar. That's what he changes his name, his legal name is Belteshazzar now. Think about that. I would be disgruntled. I mean, he's in captivity to begin with. And so I said, in verse number 9, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, he calls him the chief of the magicians, okay? Doesn't say you've got these powers because the Holy God lives in you. You're a magician, you know? That's how he recognizes him. And I know that the spirit of the Holy God is in you and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here's my dream interpreted for you. So he goes through all the dream and talks about that. And verse number 19, then Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you. Now, I want to show you something. Some of this is from Bill Johnson's message. Most of it is stuff that I found, but I just wanted to make that disclaimer. Bill talked about this verse. He talked about this king, and he talked about this verse. I think it was him. It was one of the guys at Jesus Culture. And he talked about it, and he said, listen, Daniel's been... not abused, but, you know, been taken captive, stolen from his homeland. They were victorious over the Jews. They've been stolen away, changed his name to a false god, you know, call him a magician. So now he wants an interpretation because no one else can interpret this dream. Brings him in, and here's what Daniel sees. He sees destruction coming on the king. How many of us would take the opportunity to say, oh yeah, you big bad Mabjabba, you're going to get yours now. Here's what's going to happen. My God, you call me a false god name, but my God's going to come and he's going to kick your, you know, That's what human nature would want to do. And I want you to see what Daniel does. Watch this. It's incredible. It's the end of verse number 19. Belteshazzar answered, "My Lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries." Some of the versions say, "I wish this was for your enemies." Daniel mustered up a heartfelt concern for the king who had called him by a false god and who had killed his family, killed his brothers and sisters and his cousins and aunts and nephews, and probably filleted them in the public square. I don't know that, but that's what he did. And we know Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are there, but we don't know any, it doesn't say anything about their families, and for sure their extended families, because they butchered everyone else or made them slaves. So he watched with his own eyes, watched this king do that, and now he's saying, "You're just one of the magicians, and I'm going to change your name to a false god." And so he gets this opportunity. He's in the office with the boss, and God tells him, "I'm about to destroy your boss." What is Daniel's response? "King, I'm going to tell you something. I wish this was for someone else. I wish this wasn't for you." Guess what happened? A year later, it happened. Nebuchadnezzar, he went mad. He was standing up on the roof and he said, "Look what I've created." And it was an amazing kingdom. 56 miles square and a 300-foot wall, 27 feet thick. It was incredible, with another wall on the inside of it, hanging gardens. I mean, it was magnificent. And he instantly went insane. Crawled around for 7 years on his hands and his knees. His hair grew out. His fingernails grew out. He ate grass. And then after, I think it was 7 years, after that time, he came to his senses. And guess what happened? He got saved. He got saved. He said, "God is the real God." And he started changing things. He made an edict. You know, incredible. Incredible. Why do you think he got saved? Because of Daniel. Because when that vision came to Daniel, Daniel said, "As a representative of my God, I wish this was for your enemies." And that king remembered that. Bill Johnson said this. Don't get mad at me. He said this. He said, some of you, your mom and dad would get saved if you'd go home and honor them. He said, some of you, if you'd go home and you'd honor your pastor, you'd have revival in your church. Some of us, not just making a blanket statement here, but some of us, we're missing a key of honor and just releasing God's presence and God's moving in a situation. Does that kind of make sense? If I talk about honor in the Bible, what verse pops in your mind? Honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. Where's that at? Exodus 20. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Because that quotes both of them right there. You guys still awake? Okay. Ephesians chapter 6. Let me see if I can explain something here. Ephesians chapter 6, you're going to see something. And what Ephesians chapter 6 is, if you're there, say, "I'm there." Verse number 1 says, "Children, obey your parents." Verse number 4 says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children." Verse number 6, five says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters." Verse number 9, "Masters, treat your slaves." And then it goes on, you know, so there's this whole list of outward things we're to do. We're supposed to obey this and treat this and don't do this. And it's a listing of kind of relational things and things that we're supposed to do, fathers and mothers and children and slaves and masters. And he runs through this list. And I think we do ourselves a disservice sometimes when we read this, because we think, children, honor your father and mother. That means obey them. It doesn't. It does not mean obey them. That's one of the things that you should do if you're honoring them. Do you get the difference? Honoring and obeying are not the same thing. I looked it up in the Greek. They're two completely different words. So it quotes this verse, but it's giving you a list, kind of an inclusive list of what children should do, of what fathers should do, what slaves should do, what masters should do. I'm listing off some things that this is kind of a bare minimum of what you need to do, and this is what your behavior needs to be like. But that's not what the commandment is. The commandment is not obey your father and mother. And we lose that sometimes. The commandment is, verse number 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. Do you think honor is a key to blessing? That's what it talks about. He whose heart is pure and speech is gracious will have the king for a friend. Honor your father and mother that you might it might go well with you, that you might advance, that you might have long life on earth, that you might be blessed. It's a key to being blessed. Honor, you being honorable is a key to being blessed. Honor your father and mother. Honor speaks about an attitude. See, this may come as a shock to you, and I'm sorry if this comes as a shock to you, but there were times when I obeyed my mom and dad, but that may come as a shock to you. That there were times that I obeyed my mom and dad. There were times that I obeyed my mom and dad that I did not honor them, not even the littlest bit. In my heart, I was just saying every vile thing, and you're making me do this because the consequences of not doing this are far more painful than the hatred of me doing this right now. So I'm going to do this, but man, you don't want to know what I'm thinking about you right now. Oh, you guys have never done anything like that, have you? Have you ever done that to your boss? Relatives? Yeah. Human nature. So the Bible doesn't command us to obey our parents. It does in this list, but he's picking one thing out of honoring. He's saying, children, honor your father and mother. In your heart, they should be people of deserving of honor, of lifting them up, of encouraging them, of declaring over them great things. I didn't read the definition of honor. I just thought of that. Honor means to hold in high to hold in honor or high respect, to revere, to show a courteous regard for. It's a source of credit or distinction. Listen to this: high respect. You think our culture today lacks honor? Do you think our culture lacks honor? You can't find honor if you paid for it. Go on Facebook and look at how many posts are a response to a lack of honor. That will blow your mind. Listen to how many status updates are someone responding to someone else not honoring them. It's crazy. Our culture does not value honor. High respect as for worth, merit, or rank. How cool is that? So he's saying, children, honor your father and mother. And by honoring them, obedience, that's just a given. You're just going to, that's not even going to be a question. You're going to obey them, but you're going to value them. You're going to value their opinions. Even when they're wrong, you still honor their willingness to pour into your life. You value what they have to offer. You value what they can do and bring to the table. It values and places in high regard who they are. And that's where it begins. I believe personally that they gave that commandment to children to honor their parents so that at a young age, you would learn in a safe place how to practice honor. Just like in here, we want to practice moving in the Holy Spirit in a safe place where it's okay to get it wrong. And it's all right if we mess up because we'll just do it again next week. I believe that God wanted kids to learn honor in the home so that they had a safe place to practice this because their parents really loved them. And when they get out in the world, a lot of times their boss isn't going to treat them the way their parents did. And their friends and their enemies sure aren't. And the guy down the street that wants what you've got and is going to do whatever he can to get it, how are you going to honor them if you've never practiced at home? So I believe that we need to make our churches and our homes a place of honor. And that just goes cross-grained to a lot of what my whole life has been. That's not easy for me. It doesn't come naturally. So when Bill was talking about it, he talked about kind of one of the first immediate things that people say is, well, if I'm going to honor someone, they need to be deserving of honor. I'm not going to honor someone that's, you know, arrogant and, you know, not worthy. He gave this definition. Bill Johnson said, honor is pulling the nuggets of gold out of a person. Well, no, that wasn't the one. I wrote that one. Never mind. He said, honor is recognizing who a person is without stumbling over who they're not. Honor is recognizing who a person is without stumbling over who they are not. Honor is pulling the nugget of gold out of a person while disregarding the dirt. If you are perfect, honor is optional. You just may have some dirt in your own life. You just may be in need of some mercy yourself. You just may be going to have a bad day this week. And we were at Starbucks the other day. I love Starbucks. So my wife, because she's so amazing, and I hate doing stuff like this, if you buy a bag of Starbucks, you get a free coffee, okay? Once you use that bag up, you take that bag in, and you'll get a free coffee. It says it right on there. And so what you'll get is a tall coffee, which is about $1.80 or something like that. What I like is a grande coffee, the biggest one, which is about $2.20. So I asked Marnie, we did this 2 times ago, and I said, could you take it in, and could you get a coffee, and see if you can pay the difference and get, you know, a bigger coffee? And so she did, and they did, and it was cool. So the next time, I think, well, this will be easy. So she goes in and wants to get the tall coffee or whatever. And she said, last time we upgraded, you know, and you know, a couple cents or whatever. Actually, she didn't even have to pay for it. They're just like, ah, forget it, you know, because they were really cool. And they're like, no, whatever, and we can't do that. And they're punching it in, and how do we, you know, just, and it turned into this big thing. What ended up, I paid $2 for my grande coffee. And so Marnie's like, can I have the bag back then? And they're like, no, that's what, you know, that they're like, you're getting a grande for the price of a tall. She's like, well, I'll give you the 20 cents then. Can I have it? No, we already typed it in. And I'm like, wait a second. That's not right. Okay, not a big deal. In my world, it was a big deal, okay? You guys ever have those moments when you get done afterwards, you're just like, that was dumb. That was not a big deal at all. But at the moment, I'll tell you what, that was as big as any nuclear crisis or global warfare right now, because this, my Starbucks bag, because you want... Because you want to know what I did to get that bag? I threw it away, and I forgot about it. And I went, my coffee bag's not here. And so I went for a whole day trying to forget about it. I couldn't do it. Marnie had just taken the garbage down. Guess where the garbage was? It was in her dumpster. Guess what I did? Not impressed my wife, I'll tell you that much. She couldn't even talk about it for like a day. She's like, I just can't believe you did that. She's like, I knew you were cheap, but that's... She just couldn't even bring herself to have a conversation about it. So this bag of Starbucks had a lot of value. I had a lot invested in this grande cup of coffee. So we're on the way home, and I'm just mad. Just, I can't let it go. And so I start to say something, and I said, nope. And Marnie's like, what? I said, I'm going to honor those girls. I'm really mad. But I'm not going to speak evil of them. because they deserve mercy just like I needed mercy. And that's what it is, putting it into practice. What is my speech like? Because listen to this, John 3:16. For God so loved what? The world. Who's in the world? Us. Every single person on this earth has inherent value. I don't care how much of a slob they are or how dirty of a crook they are. God loves them enough to die for them. God looked down from heaven and said, I value you enough to give my son for you. And that's the person that you're about to say those things about. Imagine walking along with Jesus and he's just showing out his love on people. And then imagine talking how we normally talk. Jesus is like, I love that person over there. And you're like, that rotten, he did. He would look at you and you'd go, oh, guess you love them, don't you? And we know that. There's things that we know. You know what I mean? Of course we know God loves everybody. But if he places that much value on them, shouldn't I at least attempt it? I know he's God and he, you know, he doesn't have to live with a human nature and all that kind of stuff. Psalms 8 verses 4 through 5 says, listen to this verse. What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. Let me read that last line to you again and let it just hit you in the heart. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. Go to Romans chapter 12. This will be probably our last verse for the day. Romans chapter 12. I'm not sure how your version is going to read in this. Proverbs 18:21, you guys know this verse. The tongue has the power of life and death. The tongue has the power of life and death. Romans chapter 12, verse number 10. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight. Enjoy honoring people. Enjoy. Make it so much a part of your life that it actually, it's not a struggle anymore. You enjoy it. It gets to be a part of your life because you know that every time you do it, it purifies your heart. It keeps this thing from getting all weighed down. How many of you think forgiveness for you would be an easier issue if you practice that? It'd be a lot easier to forgive someone if you've been speaking good things about them all week, wouldn't it? If you say things, it does something in the atmosphere. And how many times I've done this with my wife or my kids or a friend. I started out completely joking, saying things, and we start, and pretty soon you almost start believing, like it turns from just something dumb into something dumb. Like you get done and you just feel icky and you're just like, whoa, what happened there? And you're completely kidding, just messing around. When you say those things, it produces something. Listen to this version of that verse. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another. Competition is okay. We're going to see who can honor one another the most. No, I think you're amazing and awesome. No, I think you're outdo one another in showing honor. It should be a competition because I want to give life. I want to, every person in this earth has been dishonored in their life. Every person in this earth is carrying around hurts. Every person on this earth is carrying around grievances and wounds in their heart. And guess what? We have the ability, we'll finish up with this, we have the ability with our words to grab a hold of that honor that God originally placed on them and pull that to the surface. Think about that. You can so impact someone's life by speaking honorably, by choosing to say, and I know we get mad and we get frustrated, and listen, just because we have an opinion and we think it may be right does not always give us the right to speak that out. And hopefully we get to the place that our heart changes enough that we won't even really have that opinion anymore. We'll be givers of grace, ministers of grace, just releasing honor into people's lives. And you watch how that will change your relationships. You watch how that will change people. Because whether we think it's weird or not, stuff happens in the spiritual world with our words. And when you're, even if you're mad, and even if they did screw up, and even if you're justified in saying those things about them, why? You know, Bill gave a great example. He said, you know, a lot of us in the ministry or people in the church world will say, man, that guy can preach. He gives amazing messages, but he couldn't administrate his way out of a paper bag. He said, why do we need to tack that out on the end? Why can't we just give the compliment? We were heartfelt in the compliment, but why can't we leave it there? Why do we have to add something else on and say, but, you know, why do we do that? Well, there's a lot of reasons, but we don't need to. So I hope you took this in the spirit that it was meant to be given in. It's an opportunity, and you take it for what it's worth. But I really believe this is a key. And when I was listening to Bill say that, I'm like, oh, I can work on that. I can work on being an example and teaching my kids honor. How can I teach my son and daughter to honor me when I'm not honoring others? Because guess what? Your children won't do what they hear you say. They'll become what you are. That's the truth. That's a scary, ugly truth, but it's the truth. My kids will emulate what they see me do. So I want my kids, when they see me pay $2 for my Starbucks and give up my garbage bag, I want them to see me say, it's all right. I screwed up last week too. I want people to give me the same grace that they've got. I want to be, that's the kind of person I want to be. Amen?